It's a good show.
In a world where every conversation is about what movie or TV show you've just seen, one comedian doing his own voiceover for his own podcast due to monetary restrictions got tired of pretending he's seen The Wire in conversations at parties. This is Never Seen It. Comedians rewriting famous movies and TV shows they've never seen. I'm Kyle Ayers. Hey everybody, this is Never Seen It, the podcast where I have comedians rewrite famous movies and TV shows they've never seen, and we read them for you here in studio. I am your host, Kyle Ayers, and today we have two wonderful guests. We are joined by Lucas Neff.
Hey.
And Barry Rothbart.
Hey everybody.
Hey, thanks for coming, guys. We have two movies, two scripts for everyone, and so Barry, you've never seen Pretty in Pink.
Yeah, I feel like I've seen other John Hughes movies, but this is the one that people reference that I feel like I couldn't ever get to see.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know much about it.
What's holding you back?
I forgot it was John Hughes until you just said something, but
it was
that
John
makes
Hughes.
Sense. Is Molly Ringwald in it?
She is in it.
Oh, she's super in it.
Okay.
That's a big part of what I know about it.
She's like completely in it.
If you see any Pretty in Pink thing, it's Molly Ringwald's going to be there.
Okay.
You've seen it, Lucas, yeah?
What's that? Yeah, I've seen it, but a long time ago.
So today we got two movies with Pretty in the title, written by people, and their counterpart has seen it.
Yeah, so, it's a real switcheroo.
Lucas, you've never seen Pretty Woman.
No, I've never seen it.
Okay, never gone out of your way. That'd be a good time to switch on me and be like, actually, I have, now that I think about
it. No, yeah, the second I thought about it, I went and watched it, then I wrote the script.
I just printed off the script. Someone actually already wrote it out for me and
you
put
know,
it
like,
online.
There's this Sam French thing. It's all there. It took me no time. It's going to take a while to read,
can
though.
Can I say
that's
that
okay.
Not only have I seen Pretty Woman, I based a lot of how I felt about women for a long time on that movie.
I haven't seen the movie, but that feels terrible.
No, he treats her like a queen.
Right. But I don't know, maybe no matter what it is, if you're like, you know that one singular thing? I based how I feel about an entire gender off that one singular thing.
What?
Pretty Woman.
Oh, yeah. No, I did, yeah. And not many people know this, but Newman was in it, right? No, not Newman. Jason Alexander was in it.
Pretty Woman?
Seinfeld.
I mean, yeah. I haven't seen it.
Yeah, you might be thinking of Jurassic Park.
Jurassic Park, that's right.
Yeah. I haven't
Jason
seen
Alexander's not in Jurassic Park.
No, Newman.
Park.
Yeah, what is it with dinosaurs?
Come on, right?
Oh, the dinosaur saw my dick. It was tiny.
Well, all right. We're going to get it. We're going to do both these up top. Feel free to grab any instruments, Lucas, if you want to score your scene while we're going along here. And the first one we're going to do is Pretty in Pink, Never Seen by Barry. And let's go. We'll let everyone know who we're playing here in the scene.
I'm playing stage directions.
All right. I auditioned for that role. Okay.
Yeah. I did great. And Hot Girl won.
All right.
Oh, nice. Numbers. That's good. I'm playing Brad, Ducky, and Poor Dad. Or is it Poor Dad?
It's poor and then space and then dad.
Can I ask you? Yeah. Can I
poor
ask you?
Poor Dad sounds like an Indian.
Is it
name.
Poor like he's poor? Like he doesn't have a lot of money?
Or is it like, oh,
poor dad? Or is
poor
it like
dad.
Poor, like, oh, dad. Oh, poor dad.
I think you're going to find out.
We don't want to spoil it for us.
Okay.
I'm going to be Molly and science teacher and hot girl two. Not hot girl also, but hot girl number two.
Number two. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right.
Here we go. Interior, a high school girl's bedroom. Morning. We move across a girl's bedroom, and we can tell it's a girl's bedroom because there's clothes on the floor and photos pasted on a mirror. There's also some bras and panties, just the way a boy would imagine it. It's full of all the colors you'd expect in a girl's bedroom, except for one, .. Finally, we land on the girl. It's Molly Ringwald, cute, but also a redhead. She rubs her eyes to signify waking up and then reveals her whole face, which is a super cute face, crazy cute. But there's also something wrong, .. She makes her way across her room and stops at her dresser. She picks up a picture frame and sighs as she stares at it longingly. We reveal inside the frame is the color pink. Off her super cute face, cut to poor person's kitchen later. Molly and her poor dad eat breakfast silently in a kitchen too shitty for a white family. There's a tension in the room.
So, sweetie, are you preparing for the big dance this week?
Yeah, of course, Dad.
Look, I'm sorry we're poor and your mom is dead.
It's fine, Dad. I know you try your best.
He looks at her lovingly. How could such a poor guy have such a great daughter? She kisses him on his dirty, poor head and goes out the door. Exterior, the town high school later. Molly makes her way through a sea of high schoolers. All the girls are hot, but in an unappealing way. Unlike Molly, who's cute in a real way. A way that makes boys think they're the only one attracted to her, thereby fulfilling a weird control fantasy. She passes more high schoolers as we start to notice that most of the girls are wearing pink. Molly's definitely not. Molly makes her way through the crowd, but her eyes stop on Brad, a super hot guy. Think Judge Reinhold. She wants him bad, but she'd never be able to get him because he hangs out with the cool girls and she's poor. Mm-hmm. Suddenly, Ducky, the school dweeb, comes up to walk next to Molly. He's not a dweeb in a traditional way, but in more of an 80s quirky way where he wears a vest, speaks his own strange cool language, and acts gay.
Hey Molls. Oh, yeah. Hey Molls, what's hanging and banging? Love the dress.
Molly laughs, even though there was no joke. They're obviously friends.
Ducky, you're too much.
Or just enough.
Once again, a big laugh, a bug laugh. Then she looks sad.
Uh-oh. What's up, girl? You look sad.
Nothing.
Come on.
He does quack. His trademark Ducky sound.
Quack, quack.
Ducky, you know me so well. I have such a crush on Brad, and I want to ask him to the dance, but he'd never say yes. I mean, I'm poor and not hot, and I don't even wear pink.
This hurts Ducky. He clearly wants to fuck Molly, but has never told her.
Molly, you're so beautiful. You could have any guy you want.
Shut up, Ducky! No, I can't. You're a fucking idiot. I'm poor and ugly. You're so fucking stupid. I hate you, Ducky. Why do you follow me around all the time? Why don't you make like a duck and leave?
Molly runs out. Ducky is hurt, but maintains his usual feel-good quirkiness.
Psst, that's nutso butso. Don't be such a Debbie down-down clown.
He then tips his cap to no one. Classic Ducky. Interior high school hallway.
You can take a drink. You don't have to keep going so fast, Gary.
Oh, okay. Here we go. Mm-hmm. I'll take a quick drink. Interior high school hallway. Let that sink in. Once again, Molly stares at Brad, who is talking to a few more hot girls. Molly gets the courage to walk up to him. As she approaches, the hot girl around him turns in disgust. What is Molly doing walking up to them? That should have been in italics. Oh, look who it is. Ugly Molly.
Something smells like dead mom. Oh, it must be Molly.
Knock it off, girls.
They do.
Hey, Brad, my name is...
The girls snicker.
I said knock it off.
He raises his hand like he's going to hit them.
God.
They get the message.
I know who you are, Molly.
What? You do?
Yeah, I do. I've always known who you are. And honestly, I think you're kind of cute, even if you're poor. I like you for who you really are.
Brad, I...
Look, Molly, I don't care if you're not traditionally hot like some of the girls in this school, and I don't care if you come from a poor dad and a dead mother. I like you just for being you. And to be honest, I think you're...
He pulls out a pink dress out of his backpack and puts it on her.
Pretty in pink.
Her eyes light up, and suddenly he grabs her forcefully and begins to kiss her. They start to make out. Hard. They don't care who's watching. She pulls away for a second.
Does this mean you'll go to the dance with me?
He smiles, which means yes. They start going at it. They're making out like crazy, and in their furious hallway makeout mesh... sesh. They suddenly fall back into a stuffy science class. A lame teacher is teaching about the Earth or some shit as Molly and Brad enter their class still making out. They continue to go at it because that's how they are. Irreverent, fun, and young.
excuse me?
Someone throws a book at the teacher's head. That really shuts him up. Now Brad and Molly get on the desk, lay down, and really go at it. He pulls away. Oh, sorry. This is weird. Yeah.
Look, Molly, I don't care if you're not traditionally hot.
Oh, my God. This is the same line again.
like some of the girls in this school.
That was a mistake.
Let's read the script as written.
Okay.
And I don't care if you come from a poor dad and a dead mother. You probably know where this is going. I like you just for being you. And to be honest, I think you're...
He pulls a pink dress out of his backpack and puts it on her.
Pretty in
pink. The people who've crowded into the classroom to watch begin to clap. Even Ducky claps, knowing that Molly has found happiness, even if it's not with him. Now the clapping has erupted into an all-out applause. Woo! She smiles at Brad. Could this be love? She then winks and spits into her palm as it exits frame. Hand job time. We fade to black, and that Don't You Forget About Me song plays.
Woo! That's great, dude. Oh, man. It's just how I remember it.
Just, yeah.
I would say it's safe if you're writing a John Hughes movie to just have a line
again
like that copied on your clipboard just to throw in whenever you need to really
I just like
it
what
home.
A great way to just pad out a script is just start running old bits of the other scenes back.
Like I know when he was writing Ferris Bueller, he had copied on a sticky note, and this is my day out, like ready just to put in there as many times as he needed.
You're pretty in pink. What is it really about? Lucas, do you know?
I don't even remember.
She's poor in it, though, right?
Yeah, and there's a cake. It's her birthday. There's a hot guy. There's
oh,
like,
so I got it.
A lot of
it's
what
got
you
the
did.
Birthday
yeah,
part. Yeah.
I think that. Yeah, you missed that.
Okay.
Oh no, that was 16 candles.
That sounds about right. That sounds more. Like
they're all the same.
Yeah. Look,
they're
all exactly 16 the same. Candles.
Yeah. He just puts candles in her eyes. You look good in 16.
While she picks out yogurt toppings.
Uh huh.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right. Are we doing yours now?
All right.
Is it? Oh no. Do we talk more?
No. We could. Let's get into this.
I don't know.
Do we talk?
How does this work? I'm still so high from our podcast. We recorded our podcast right before. I'm
lit. That's okay. Okay. No. Let's pretty woman it.
Great.
Did you type this on an actual typewriter?
Yeah, I wrote this
He's
on a typewriter.
He's been annoying about typewriters for a while now.
That's kind of cool.
Thank you for Xeroxing the copies. I only had one hard copy.
Does that
of
mean
it.
I have the original one? Because it has
no.
some red.
Oh, no. I don't know which one's the original. If they all have red, I have red on mine as well.
Is there a way we can figure out who has the
oh,
original
Oh, because you'll
copy?
Have white out.
Oh, the original. They have it. They have the original
Oh,
copy
the original
out
copy's
there.
Out there. Yeah, that'll have white out on it.
What? Okay, well, I want to talk about the typewriter thing after mm-hmm. we read this, too. But this is... Okay, so let's talk about who we're playing in Pretty Woman.
Mm-hmm. I will be doing stage directions and fishmonger.
I'll be doing Maggie Smith Bounce...
And no, bouncer. Yeah, bouncer.
Bounce?
I'll be Maggie Smith, and, a genre of New Orleans music.
Yeah. Julia.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to be playing Richard Gere, Shortman.
Shortman.
Shortman. Ah, oh, mm-hmm. yes. And Hamster.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Oh, actually, no. Hamster...
was meant for someone else?
You should play that part as well, Barry.
All right,
you'll have
to
play
hamster?
That part as well, yes.
Wait, why? Did you just get
no.
recast?
No, Kyle? It's not recast.
That's fine.
Sometimes
I don't even end up posting the podcast by the end.
Barry has to play the hamster as well.
All right, Barry.
It'll all be clear. It'll all be clear.
Okay, so I got to remember this now.
Yeah.
Maggie Smith, Bounce, Julia, and Hamster.
Bouncer,
oh, yeah. There's
bouncer,
actually stage yeah. directions in here that says Hamster quits other podcast.
Oh, this is going to get referential, isn't it?
Yeah. Okay. But it'll all be clear. It has to be that way, but it'll be clear.
Can I read the title that you wrote?
Oh, sure.
I love how this looks.
It looks beautiful. Pretty Woman. A film, he clearly messed up the F a little bit, that I have never seen, rewritten, read R-E, by Lucas Neff.
I didn't realize all the commentary was going to come with it, but I guess I should have seen it coming. Interior, space, day. We are inside.
Wait, hold on.
It's day in space.
Yeah. I did. Uh-huh. All right, let's do that again.
We good?
Yeah.
All right.
Space, day.
Interior, space, day. We are inside space, 1990s space. It is beautiful, but fuzzy, and there are less stars. The camera pans, and we see the Earth nearby. It looks like a beautiful blue booger. Little does that booger know what's coming for it. What's that noise? It's silence, because this is space, and space isn't noisy, and this is a good, maybe award-nominated film. Slowly and silently, a 1990s spaceship slides into view. It is computer animated. It is also black and creepy and large and clearly not human. Exterior, spaceship, continuous. We zoom into the spaceship in a classic Pretty Woman shot, finally landing on a very nice clean window. Through the window, we see something astonishing. It's a phone. A rubbery green alien hand reaches for it. It begins to dial. It takes a while because it is a rotary phone. Another hand from the same alien reaches in and begins to twirl the cord. The phone begins to ring. 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 Quickly, the camera plunges toward the Earth. North America, the United States, New York City.
I don't mean to throw them in. How does a camera plunge? Oh, it just like goes straight in. Okay, got it.
I didn't do this to you.
You could have. I'm making that rule.
North America, the United States, New York City. The city bustles with classic New York City bustle.
Hey, what are you getting here?
A fishmonger yells at a client.
Hey, I need a cab, boy.
Hey, this is New York. You gotta pay for that fish. Ring. The melodious ringing of the 1990s alien rotary phone moves us away from the irate fishmonger. We find ourselves inside. Interior, fancy piano recital hall, continuous. Ring. Heads turn in their seats, unable to focus on the beautiful clanking piano noises. What is that ringing? This is a fancy piano recital, not Wall Street. Ring. We find the source of the ringing. There, in the middle of a giant row, it is young Richard Gere with a head full of young, sinful black hair. His handsome, beady eyes look nervous, conflicted. His hands tried to hide the source of the ringing, a sleek, sandwich-sized cellular phone. Next to him, Maggie Smith, his maid, frowns at him.
Richard, must you always be on that thing? Can't you just be a father for once? You're missing little Richie's performance!
On stage, a sickly boy in a glittery golden suit is limply rubbing out some Chopin.
Hey, it could be money, baby. I gotta take this.
Richard Gere stands and exits the theater, squeezing his lithe 1990s body down a long row of displeased white people.
Excuse me, pardon me. It was, whoa, watch your hands, mister. This ain't the ballet. I kid. Days of Heaven, am I right? Bada bing!
During this exchange, Richard Gere's state-of-the-art cellular phone continues to ring because it has no voicemail. On stage, Richard Gere's sickly, unwell son, Little Richie, radiant in his golden tuxedo, watches his father leave, devastated. It is a haunting moment of pure cinema that will reverberate for decades. Smash cut to interior fancy lobby bathroom. The door bursts open and Richard Gere slides in hilariously.
Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa! Hold on!
Using all his strength, Richard Gere lifts his cellular phone to his favorite ear. Panting, cool.
Gere here.
Heavily distorted white noise shoots out of the phone and grabs him by the skull. Richard Gere is frozen, unable to move. His face goes completely white. Sweat pours forth from his short temples. Clearly fake, candy red blood spurts from his ears. The white noise gets louder. It's like word noises.
The white Richard... noise, you hit three more xylophone things. I don't know.
Richard Gere, twirling madly, screams and spikes his bowling ball-sized phone into a toilet. The noise cuts out. There is silence. Richard Gere gasps for air. He pulls out an expensive silk tissue and dabs at his bloody ears. He stops, seeing himself in the mirror. Slowly, with Richard Gere-like intensity, he raises his hand to touch himself in the mirror.
Richard, baby, you gotta relax.
He reaches into his pocket and pulls out another cellular phone. Struggling, he begins to dial. Cut to exterior, pet store. Moments later, a limousine screeches up. Gear tumbles out and sprints to the entrance. The beefy Russian bouncer stops him with a blocking move.
I'm on the list.
Oh, of course you are, Mr. Gear.
The bouncer.
Oh, wait, no. Can I redo that?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Oh, of course you are, Richard Gear.
Mr. Gear.
The bouncer.
Different intention.
The bouncer steps on the sensor and the doors slide open. Richard Gear enters and disappears into darkness. Mm. Interior, pet store, continuous. It's dark and smoky. Sensual red curtains cover the halls and walls and passageways. The air vibrates with the gentle plucking of a harpsichord and thousands of squeaking treadwheels. On a marble pedestal in the middle of the room sits a tureen full of cucumber water and a bowl full of pellets. Richard Gear helps himself to a handful of pellets. He chews nervously. A very, very short man emerges from behind a curtain.
Ah, Mr. Gear! So good to see you again. Will it be the usual today? Oh, God, I got you both. Will it be the usual today?
No, Hans. It's been a real freaky Friday. I need something special today.
You've come to the right place, Mr. Gear. Not a center of the war has ever had a scene of something so special. Namadre
Spiziel. Oh, German.
Yeah, German.
Oh. Namadre Spiziel.
A curtain pulls apart, revealing a staircase leading upwards. Richard Gear, forgetting his pellets, ascends upward into darker darkness.
Forgetting his pellets?
He reaches a door. He knocks.
Hey, it's Richard, baby, coming in.
Not waiting for an answer, he thrusts the door open. And finally, we see her in the middle of the room on a pile of fluff. Lit by a golden spotlight, lays the most beautiful hamster you've ever seen. She turns and flashes a million megawatt smile that shows all four of her teeth.
My name is Julia.
You know who I am, baby. Hope you're ready for fifth gear.
She squeals with delight at his banter. And he leaps upon her. The infamous poetic strains of John Williams' bombastic Pretty Woman score leads us into a gorgeous and extraordinarily lengthy montage of lovemaking. They do it regular. We see very sensual giggling and foreplay. They fellate each other. She takes him from behind. They orgasm repeatedly on each other in the tasteful European fashion. Finally, they collapse, exhausted, in each other's arms and paws. Hours, perhaps days, have gone by. You can tell that something has changed. This is no longer transactional. Something deeper is connecting them.
I want to take you away from here. I want to buy you things like fancy pellets, a water tube filled with champagne, a bigger cage. You name it, baby, it's yours.
A lot of guys say stuff like that. But when my teeth get too long, are you going to be the one that clips them?
I'll clip them right now, baby.
Sure, baby.
Richard Gere reaches across her naked, furry body and picks up a pair of tiny teeth scissors. Her eyes widen. They are almost wider than his eyes. But what's this? His cellular phone is ringing. Richard Gere's eyes widen in terror, but not wanting to look cowardly in front of his new lover, he answers.
Go for Gear.
Richard, where have you been? It's been days. You're going to miss little Richie's birthday, Pa.
Hey, shut. Shut it for a second. You tell little Richie that everything's going to be all right. In fact, I think he just might have a new mom.
Hamster Julia Roberts gasps. There is a long pause on the line.
She is. She is a woman, right?
Richard Gear turns and winks at his rodent paramour.
Oh, she's Pretty Woman.
He laughs. He laughs and hurls his phone out the window. He has learned the lesson of Pretty Woman, which is to be present. Outside, his phone rings in the snow because it is winter now. As we listen to the rings, the camera shoots into space, where we see that the aliens have been defeated by the fifth gear, which, of course, is love. Transactional rodent love. Finn.
Wow. Incredible.
Yeah.
So, Barry, you've seen it.
Yes.
How Hugh's close? Pretty close.
It's pretty
close.
Like it just, it's there.
Yeah. I wish
it's very close.
I wish I'd seen both so I could see whose was closer.
Mm-hmm.
I think the message is different in The Actual Pretty Woman.
What's the message in The Actual Pretty Woman?
Is that you could pay for anything.
In Actual Pretty Woman, is that song Pretty Woman in it? Or like, Pretty Woman?
Yeah, oh yeah.
That makes
heavily.
Sense. That
heavily
makes sense.
Featured in that. He sings it to her.
Oh, yeah. Wait, really?
No.
I mean, this is the problem with not seeing the movie, is like, I literally buy anything about it.
I just love any time a movie says the name of the movie.
Oh, yeah.
That's always the best part of any movie.
Yeah. Do you prefer it early or at the end?
If it's the last line, if it could possibly be the last line, that's my favorite part.
Can I ask you quick, why were cell phones so prominent? Is it because they were a new invention at
the time? Yeah, they were a new invention, so it was super impressive.
Like
to everyone. Like, in the 90s, seeing him with that cell phone, you've been like, wow, that guy's like business.
You couldn't even be mad that it was pulled out during the...
Oh, no, yeah, yeah.
Because it's just such a... You're now... You know that's the most important person in the theater.
Mm-hmm. He's rich. He's unstoppable.
Fifth gear.
Yeah, man.
I love that.
I almost said... read it wrong and said fifth gear for some reason. Because I think the G
you
was
like,
lowercase
like
or something.
You like the Richard Gere.
No, right? I'd forgotten Dick I even said that earlier. That's
oh yeah,
kind of how it, maybe bad there, it might be to be around is, me
maybe
a
there's
lot.
Another word you're thinking of with like a Gere, a G-E-R-E thing going on. I don't know.
It could be that. Did you guys choose to both do movies with the word pretty first?
He chose first, and I then remembered Pretty in Pink.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
That's a very definite answer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember it happening.
Timeline tracks.
It was very vivid.
I haven't seen either of these, but I've seen a lot of these other John Hughes movies. Have you seen, do you avoid John Hughes, or is this just one that never
No,
came
in I haven't seen 16 Candles. I saw Breakfast Club. I find that it tries so hard to be quirky that it just is off-putting. That's the truth.
I could see that.
Is that that seemed like it confused you?
No, I just drifted off for a second.
Oh, okay.
No, I mean, that makes total sense to me. I think anything
Thank
that
you.
Feels like too precious,
yeah.
that it escapes reality,
yeah.
is kind of annoying.
Yeah.
So you think like it knows what it's trying to do the entire time?
I don't know. It feels like it was early enough in movie history that like things weren't as like aware, as meta as
They're
they are now.
They're a little problematic.
They're definitely problematic.
Yeah.
But they
Someone was
like
just
self-aware.
Mad about the Breakfast Club recently, right?
I think it wasn't Molly Ringwald.
Oh, something
Ringwald?
Happened off camera.
I thought Molly Ringwald wrote something like looking back at these movies I was in.
Yeah, because someone got grabby with her and it was like a fun scene.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I don't know.
Or someone like, someone poked her.
I mean, it's difficult, right? Like there are books that I love that because they were written a long time ago have all sorts of like, you know, offensive material in them. But at the same time, like they are a product of their circumstances. You know, like, you can't rewrite the book that was written a million years ago, and you can't remake... I mean, you can remake those movies, I guess, but, you know, they're of that time, and I think, you know, acknowledging that they're going to be a complicated experience is okay.
You know what I love about Pretty Woman the most was the whole conceit of the movie is that it's her first day of hookering.
Is that really
oh, wait,
it?
Really?
Yeah.
No way.
It's her first day.
I know it's
That's
like
her
he
first
saves
client.
Her. Oh, so he's saving her from her
I
first
think
day
what
of
the,
work?
The rationale was that you can't have a hooker who's just been like used a lot because it's odd to just have him fall in love with that for some reason, morally.
I think it was just that it protected her from
she
being an actual hooker.
She needs to be a likable character, yeah.
No, it's just that then she's not... People can be like, technically,
yeah.
she's not a real hooker.
Yes,
he
which
like
is
got
problematic.
Her
so do you think they were like, well, no one will actually root for
also,
a long career
I know
process.
What you're saying.
No,
like,
because also it would be like confusing, I think, why she just left all of a sudden.
I think
she was already in like, should I do this? All right, I'll do it.
I think it's funny that we're just talking about the movie. We instantly slip into the vernacular of that time.
Yeah.
Like, it's okay. It's like defend. Like, we were like, that was inappropriate how he treated that hooker. Like, well, no, a sex worker, right? You know? But,
Yeah.
I don't know. But, the whole premise, I don't understand really the premise of the movie outside of, like, he just, like, buys her, essentially, right?
I don't, yeah.
Well,
all I know is he's and it's so, it even feels problematic to be like, he's saving her. Because that's just a thing, a choice.
That, that was a lot of movies back then, right? It was like a guy would be like, I'm going to save you from this town.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to just give you
your other boyfriend.
A husband.
Your actual
yeah,
boyfriend.
Yeah, right.
I'm
going to
save
carries,
you from your entire life that seems
officer
fine
and a gentleman.
Outside of me.
Yeah. He carries her out of the factory and everyone's like, he took you out of your job and is going to make you a wife. Did you see that movie?
No.
That's a good one.
I officer thought the factory was on fire until you kept describing more of what happened.
No, that's Backdraft.
Like,
you're thinking of Backdraft.
From a, you're like, yeah, this is so problematic how he carried her out of that fire. You should have just let her die.
What's the end of Flashdance? Is she still
she
a steel worker?
Water on herself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And
isn't
so
that
then,
the last scene?
But is she still working steel?
Yeah.
Okay.
She gets a union card. That's the end of it.
You got your union
card.
So
there's always the exception to the rule.
Yeah.
She's of course. She's stuck with her gig.
Yeah.
What is, so sometimes we'll talk about sometimes is like how, what's these are both pretty well-known movies, maybe not like Blockbuster or anything, but like, you know, mm-hmm. movies that are sitting around and everything. What's something you've invested the most time into watching that people consider crap?
Oh.
Oof.
Recently? I mean, when I was as a kid, I invested in just, I think, nothing but crap.
Yeah.
I must have watched, I mean, like, it's a cult sort of favorite, but like, Neverending Story is not like a good movie.
Oh my God, it's amazing.
It's good, but it's not, it's like fun.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, The Goonies is like a fun movie.
Yeah, but that's still okay.
You know, totally. But I watched it like a million times, and I don't think everybody loves it, but is it good just because we love it?
Yeah, I think that might be one of the things that makes something good, right?
Loving it?
Yeah. You keep saying it
the
like you're not sure what love
the
is.
Means, right?
Well, no, but like, there's a lot of movies that are
can
difficult.
You, here's a question, though. Can you hate something that is good? Can you be like, this good, and I hate it? I guess you
Oh, yeah, yeah. I guess yeah. when you
I think Requiem for a Dream felt like that to me, where I was like, this feels like a good
right.
movie. I don't ever want to watch it.
Oh, those ones
again.
Where you're like one and done with these movies.
Yeah, Kids or Kids by Harmony Korine. Like yeah. that movie, I'm like, this is good. I fucking don't ever want to experience
it. I don't
again.
Know. MacGruber doesn't count because everyone came around on it, right?
He's like, I watched Requiem for a Dream. It yeah. really ruined me. I can only watch one check. Yeah, after I watched MacGruber that one time, I just, to watch someone have to go through having celery in their ass again, and I don't even know which of the two movies that's in.
Both, I think.
It's in both, yeah. right? It's in both. The link between Requiem. Uh-huh. Yeah, they're actually, they both take place yeah. in the MacGruber universe.
It's a double-sided yeah. celery.
In the MCU. Yeah.
I got obsessed recently with Jerry Maguire. I've watched
yeah,
it.
Yeah, he's
three
not
times.
Mine. He talks about it all
I watched
the time.
It. I got to say, hands down, it is my favorite movie to watch.
Just and you'll just put it on in the background while you're doing stuff, or just actually put it on and watch the whole
my
thing?
My wife and I just sit down and watch it when we're in a bad mood. Okay. We'll just throw it on. It is just a beautifully unbelievable. It's an unbelievable movie.
Is it have a Does it have a famous director?
Yeah. What's his name? Cameron Crowe, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess to a certain extent, depending on how Game
or Chris
of Thrones
Columbus?
Ends.
Chris Columbus.
Cameron Crowe. I'm going to say Cameron Crowe.
He also, yeah. Chris Columbus, who wrote Home Alone, that's all I know.
He did. No, yeah, it's not Chris Columbus. It's Cameron Crowe. Okay. It's great. Have you seen it?
I have not.
You've not seen Jerry Maguire? Have you seen a movie?
No, that's the point of this entire thing.
I've never seen Jerry Maguire either.
Especially for me, the 80s and 90s, I completely missed out on the 80s.
No one has seen Jerry Maguire?
We never watched movies and things like that growing up for whatever reason. And I missed, so everything that would have been new my whole life, I never saw. And then I took film classes in college, and so we watched like 60s like Hitchcock movies and things, but Jerry Maguire's not coming up in a film class or anything either.
It should.
And so I had to like
it's incredible.
I guess as an example.
Yeah. But people think it's like cheesy.
Yeah, well, I mean, isn't it?
No. I mean a little bit. But it's cheesy in a way where you're just like things work out.
Well, like The Notebook.
Yeah, Notebook.
Like The Notebook
I hate.
Is like super cheesy but like satisfying.
You like The Notebook?
Yeah, I love The Notebook. Ugh. I mean, it's like super like a silly stupid movie.
Yeah.
But it's like delivers enjoyment. Do you know what I mean?
I like that. I think we're kind of coming now, people are okay with just liking the things they like.
Yeah,
like
well,
10 years ago, people would be like, the Notebook's
like
trash, bad,
that's
blah,
like,
blah. But we're just like, well, Jerry Maguire's cheesy, but I like it. That's fine. You can just, a good thing can
that's
be
like
good, even
Warhol's
if it's popular.
Whole thesis, right? Like, it's okay to like things.
Oh.
Yeah.
And he came up with that?
Yeah. That was a whole big part of the pop art movement. When we were in Pittsburgh.
I just woke up one day and was like, it's okay to like
things. It was a big, because he was putting stuff that was commercial, that was accessible, that was really like, and he was printing off like, it was all just stuff that was popular.
Yeah.
And art at that point had been like, you know, it was Pollock and everybody else who were these abstract expressionists.
Yeah.
And it was very alienating and very like.
But now it's okay
like,
to be
exclusive.
Like,
yeah, and this like was like very
positivity.
Arms open, like, hey, I like toys, so here's a giant toy. Huh.
I just watched What About Bob? I rewatched, which is terrible.
Oh, Bill Murray and
Richard
Dreyfuss. Classic comedy duo.
I loved it.
Is that where he has the fish in the bowl the entire time?
It's amazing to me that we've all. That
Bill Murray has a fish that he can't die? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Have you seen it?
I have seen What About Bob.
Okay, so all three of us have seen What About Bob.
It's the first movie that's come up that we've all seen.
Pretty Woman or Pretty in Pain. That's crazy.
What About Bob we watched in a psychology class in high school. I had the laziest.
That's how you say
psychology? Sorry, psychology class. That's if you go petering it in high school, where we watched It and Memento the same week and then talked about mental health.
Oh, that sounds boring.
Yeah, it didn't make any... It was, you know, the teacher was a football coach.
Yeah, I just remember watching some boring-ass movies in film school.
Yeah.
I didn't go.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah, I used to cut school a lot, and I'd go to Blockbuster and rent, like, 5 movies back in the days of VHS. Mm. And, like, just sit at home eating donuts and watching movies all day as a kid.
Is there anything worse than when you really heavily recommend a movie to someone and then you watch it with them and it's not good?
This happened.
I can't talk about it. Is this a specific time that happened?
Well,
for
it's
you
happened
right
to
now?
Me many times. Because I go to my wife, I'm like, this is the best movie. And then I'm watching her the whole time and she's clearly not enjoying it.
That happened.
And I'm like, worst. This is, no, this part.
Wait for it.
Yeah. I was the recipient of that with Westworld. Where someone was like, you're
in the room?
Someone legitimately said, this is something I know you will like.
The movie or
because
the show?
The show.
Oh.
Because I know you.
Oh,
and then we watched
God.
Two episodes,
it's
and by
so
the end of the second one, I was like, I don't like how you think of me. Like, that's what
no.
it is.
Because
that's,
so
that's a risk to telling someone that this is a thing you'll like, is I know you. Well,
it's like you're at a party, and you're like, this
Did
YouTube
your friendship
video is the
recover?
Funniest video.
I moved across the country. So I don't know what recover
cool,
is, but
cool.
it, they live in
don't
New
Don't offend you.
Or do if you don't want to see me
Yeah,
again.
I guess, yeah.
Well, no, it happened to, I recommended Observe and Report to Lucas. I watched Observe and Report. Do you remember that movie?
Is that with Seth Rogen? Seth Rogen Mall Cop?
Yeah, it's funny. It's very funny. But I recommended it as like one of the funny, most underrated comedies of all time. And we were watching it and he was not liking it. And then there's a very questionable rape scene in it. And it really turned the mood and I shut it off. And I was like, I don't know why I did. Because I basically, it was a terrible reflection on me.
I like the idea that he's not feeling it, and you're like, I'm gonna get him back with this rape scene.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. That's what I thought.
That's the sinker.
I actually,
hook,
in my
line,
head, remembered it as one of the funniest scenes in the movie. And I watched it like 2 years ago.
But then, if you're watching it through his eyes, you're like, oh well, this is. It's certainly going in the same direction, but it's absolute negative.
It was odd. The hero basically rapes someone, and you're supposed to be okay with it.
That's one of those movies that I feel like was just a victim of advertising. I had no idea what it was ever about.
No,
I thought it was
also
just Paul,
like,
Blart with Seth
Rogen.
Yeah,
well, that's Paul Blart came out right before that.
It's the Eastbound and Down crew made it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, it was originally for Danny McBride,
Jody Hill. Yeah, but Danny McBride didn't do it or couldn't do it. He wasn't big enough. It wasn't big enough of a star. He's in it, but he wasn't big enough yet.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy.
But I see sometimes a movie that never came on my radar. I just legitimately thought it was like a slapstick comedy.
Yeah. This is a few years ago, too, man. You should have heard about it.
Well.
Yeah.
You guys just disappointed in me now?
Yeah.
I don't even remember what it was called right now. What was it called?
Observe and Report.
Okay.
Paul Blart, Seth Rogen Cop.
I was just calling it Seth Rogen Mall Cop to the point where I was like, they even, in my head, I'm like, I can't believe they took the Paul Blart title.
Well, it came out at the same time, which was a bad idea.
It was a real deep impact to the Armageddon.
Yeah. Like when 30 Rock came out at the same time as Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip.
Yeah, but that happens like, I feel like
the other
all
example
the time.
Everyone
yeah.
always uses.
Remember there was also, you remember the two Truman Capote movies that came out the exact same time? One was with Toby Jones as Truman Capote, and then the other was the Phil Hoffman one. Mm-hmm. And the Toby Jones one just got steamrolled. Right. And it's not a bad movie. It's got a ton of great actors in it. It was just not, it didn't have the push.
And Jurassic Park and the show Dinosaurs on Fox.
Jurassic Park.
Shows find a way.
And Dinosaur Island came out the same year, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That does seem to happen a
lot. I used to love going in Blockbuster. They used to have the foreign B version ripoffs.
Yeah.
Of like American studio movies, like all Schwarzenegger movies became like Dolph Lundgren movies. You know what I mean? Like,
I know there's a movie called Transmorphers that came out when the first Transformers came out.
Yeah,
really?
It's like an all CGI movie they made in a month.
Yeah, like Dolph Lundgren would be like in The Extinguisher, which would be about like future robots that were like saving, like
the mechanical pencils eraser.
Uh huh. Yeah. Exactly.
Do you know there's a story that goes that he's Austrian, right, Dolph Lundgren?
I think so.
That people were robbing a house and they saw that it was Dolph Lundgren's house and they wrote a note, so sorry, Mr. Lundgren, and ended up leaving and not stealing anything.
That's fans.
Yeah.
It's a true story.
He's like a genius,
and
too.
And that was my
he's
father.
He's got like a
who
degree from
his,
MIT in like math or physics or something.
He's a genius, yeah.
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 Well, I didn't know any of that. I'm not sure I even know who he is.
Yeah, we know everything there is
about Dolph Lundgren. We found the common ground.
Ask me a single question about a John Hughes movie. I've
like,
got no idea.
Your guys' Venn diagram, one side is the word pretty for one reason, the other side is the word pretty for another reason, and then right in the middle is Dolph Lundgren just sitting right there in all of the overlap. It's like, did you guys, were you like kids going to the movies, or was Blockbuster your routine?
I did it all.
A ton.
You hang at the movies and stuff?
My parents were divorced, and my dad, as a single dad, just showed me movies, like R-rated movies, way too young.
Like, what's the...
Oh, my God. You know, he was into, like, remember when erotic thrillers were a big deal? Yeah. This was really awkward. Like, in the 90s?
Like Entrapment?
I like
no,
the idea
like
that
Disclosure.
They, yeah. Okay.
What?
Oh,
I like
Fatal
the idea
Attraction.
That they were never actually in, but you just were convinced because you're trying. Remember when erotic thrillers were the only movies, so I had to watch them?
Yeah. Remember that when like softcore porn was just like everyone watched it with their parents?
And it was all shot in your living room.
Yeah. No, there was a time in the 90s. It was like Disclosure, Sliver. What was the one with where Sharon Stone crosses her leg? Basic Instinct. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Fatal Attraction.
Fatal Attraction. All these like erotic thrillers were a big deal, and I watched them all late at night on like Cinemax.
Yeah.
Okay.
I remember
Is
being
that odd?
Scandalized
with my dad.
No. Wait.
Movies.
Oh, I like that you really buried with your dad. I just watched them late at Cinemax. That's not weird, is it?
Yeah.
My dad was there.
Anyway, he was there.
Coaching.
I don't think that's coaching. Maybe that's weird.
Yeah. We watched on mute. That's even weirder.
It was weird. We had to, you know, run the wire to the neighbor's house. Yeah. But
do you remember when you said I have to do up and down real fast to get Playboy?
The channel?
Oh, yeah, because it'd be scrambled.
Channel up, channel down, channel up, channel down.
No, I don't.
Yeah, that was a thing.
Oh, man.
I don't know if anyone remembers that. Yeah.
I remember going, we didn't have cable, but I remember going to other people's houses, and you'd get those channels with the static, and you'd be like watching, and they'd be like,
"That's what
was that a boob?"
Yeah, you could
That's
get a little
saying.
Of it. Yeah, I do remember. That'd be late night Cinemax and stuff like that.
Yeah. Those mm-hmm. were great.
So that was your guys' movie-going experience?
No, I remember I started going to the theater when I started going to the movies by myself, and I didn't have a lot of money. And I wanted to go to like older movies. So like I think GoldenEye had just come out or something. I couldn't afford a ticket and it was like sold out or something. So like there's this theater in Chicago, Lincoln Village Theater. I don't know if it's still there. But they had this like entranceway through this lobby. You'd go through stairs and they had theaters upstairs and the exit from the upstairs went into the lobby. And so I walked backwards up the stairs, stopping whenever anybody looked at me. And then I would take a step down if anybody was looking at me. And then the second they walked away, I'd start walking back up the stairs backwards.
The double movie was a...
Uh-huh.
Oh, everyone did
so
that.
And so, but then that's how I got into GoldenEye. Because I looked like I was walking down, but I was actually secretly walking
that's
up.
That's crazy. I used to do triple features.
Oh, yeah, you just hung out and just see a bunch
three
of movies.
Three movies in a day? Yeah. No one else had the heart.
I know.
All my friends sucked.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, no one did.
We would do, there was a movie theater where no one would watch the exit, so one person gets a ticket, you could let everybody in.
Yeah.
Oh,
and then we would just come in with just the most food from other places and walk right into the... I felt really sneaky at the time. You always are like, but nah, it was just other teenagers who didn't care working probably. But I felt sneaky.
There's this theater in Michigan that just blew my mind because I mostly grew up in Chicago. I grew up in Chicago, but we split time in Michigan and we would go there frequently. But there was this theater near our farm out there, and it was like $2 for a ticket.
Mm-hmm.
You could see like a first run movie for $2 and get like a 32-ounce slushie for $1.25.
Jesus.
And you were like, this is fucking heaven.
Yeah.
I was like a kid. I was like, nah. I always
You're
had
like
nachos
king of the movie
with jalapenos.
For $5.
32
That's
going to
be one of those stories that really bores
blue
your kids one
slushie.
Day.
Is this it's bombing right now? Is that what's happening?
No,
is
I'm just like, I can see you tell your kids that one day. It was a movie ticket for $2.
It'd be like,
and a slushie for $1.25.
Stab
like, Shut
me with
up,
their,
Dad.
Their laser swords and
yeah, they'll
evaporate
just, they'll
back
just
to
turn
Mars.
You off with whatever they have at that point.
I'll go back in my glass cube.
I just went and saw Coco at this movie theater in North Hollywood, the second run. It was a dollar.
I know that
on
one.
Like Tuesday or Wednesday or whatever.
Yeah.
And I movie passed a $1 movie ticket.
You're still actually losing money on
right,
that.
And it wasn't like working. And so it was like 7 minutes of work between me and an employee to save me. A dollar.
You know, MoviePass is like their terms of agreement
no,
are
not.
So fucked.
They're not changing. They were going to change, and then everyone got mad.
No, but they have in their not about one specific change, but in their terms of agreement, it says they're allowed to change it whenever they want at their discretion with no
That's
notice.
That's probably most of those things we sign.
So I mean, it's just like
I'll
insane.
Never be surprised if there's a lack of longevity to the $10 for all of the movies forever company.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about this. They thought it was going to be like a gym membership where people were going to pay for it and get a subscription and then just not use it.
But now it's a thing people use to avoid
Everyone.
Using
but
their gym membership.
Yeah.
It's the opposite.
People love movies.
I mean, you see, I got it in like November. I've probably seen 30. So, you know, I've spent $40
oh, so now you're catching
to see
up, huh?
30 movies. Yeah. But I know some people have seen.
You spend $40 still?
$10 a month.
Oh, I thought you meant a month.
Oh, no, no, no. Yeah. So in like the 4 months or whatever, I've seen 30. That's instead of the, knows, that'd be like $500 in movies you should have been.
But did they do that one thing about you're not allowed to see a movie multiple times?
Yeah, I can't. I wanted to go see a movie again, and it was like, nah, you've seen this one.
So they are changing stuff.
Yeah, slowly but surely.
Mm-hmm, nibbling away.
It doesn't, and no, I have no faith in any company when you explain it to someone and they say, no, it isn't. Like anytime you explain the company and immediately, no matter who you're telling about it, they don't believe it could possibly exist.
Like, there's a catch, yeah.
I thought there was some sort of like, it was some sort of deal through the movie just to get more people to the movie
theater. They do. They aggregate research. Yeah, the numbers. That's how they make the money.
And now I'm getting more emails than I ever did. They're like, maybe you should check out Beast or whatever.
Yeah, I just
like,
got that
slowly
Beast
starting
email.
To like,
is that what
stuff.
It is?
Yeah, they're going to start telling. And I can see exclusivity becoming a thing.
Give it to me. Give me every junk email you got, movie. Yeah,
I think they'll have tiered membership things, like platinum members who get this kind of access or
get to
like
sit
a free
down during the movies or something. Eventually, it's like, do you want? Oh, you watch with your back to the screen. $10 a month. You can hear a whole movie for $10. Hear as many movies as you want.
They just flick you in the nose through the first act.
We'll let you watch it on your phone at a Dodgers game for $5 a month, but you can't look at the baseball game and you can't hear the movie.
There should be an amount of time where if you walk out, you can get your money back.
On MoviePass?
In every theater.
I think pretty much any theater.
I think in any business.
Whoa. Wait, what?
If I leave a restaurant.
Laundromat.
Leave a laundromat just 10 minutes into my wash cycle.
Yeah, but then they
just get my fucking money
then
back.
Then they have to like spit on all your clothes to make them all wet if you haven't gotten in the washer yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what do you think about that? Like 15 minutes.
If you leave in the
first 20 minutes, let's say.
What kind of place wouldn't, besides like laundromat? A restaurant will give you your money back.
No, I'm saying if you did that at a movie theater.
You can.
You can get your money back in the first 20
minutes? At Arclight, you can get it back in 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Really? There's a time?
Yeah.
Oh, did I just come up with something that's already been come up with?
I do that all the time.
You came up with a worse version of it. Yeah, that's the amazing thing. Like, it already exists, and it's better than what you were offering. Like, no, it's 30 minutes.
Yeah, what about 15?
What about, okay, here's mine. What about 15 and
so
you have to do a bunch
movie
of push-ups?
Theaters more money.
What if you have to kiss the guy working the movie theater to get your money back? You're like, actually, there's a better version out already. Yeah. You don't have to kiss anybody.
Uh-huh. That's really good.
Yeah. I wouldn't believe you for a second. Uh-huh.
I snuck into the Arclight all the time. That was easy.
That's the one that we talk to people out here, you're like, oh, I got MoviePass. Like, it doesn't work at the Arclight. So, yeah, but when it's free, I don't care what the movie theater is.
Also,
yeah,
like, other movie theaters are fine.
Yeah, some of them have the cool
reclining
seats.
If you get there early
seats.
Enough. Right. It's fine.
Now you can reserve seats at one on the movie pass. You can pick your reserve seat and everything. Ooh. I did it for the Avengers.
Really?
I picked my seat the day before. Yeah.
Enjoyable
That's
movie.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Enjoyable movie. Yeah.
Do you like to pick seats that are right next to other people sitting there?
They have weird rules about it, but it wasn't very full, so it didn't matter.
I love to sit within the one seat available between two large groups.
Oh, like the two groups have left the buffer.
If I'm alone, if I'm alone, I do it.
It's also fun because they'll both
then
blame
no one
the
knows.
Other group.
Yeah, it's great.
They'll just think the other group has an asshole who will sit there, and you're just like, I'm ruining. Six people are mad at each other and have idea I'm neutral.
When you used to sneak into movies, was there anything scarier than sitting there until the movie started?
Yeah, you were just
like you literally
sweating
like every time an employee came into the theater, I'd be like, this is it. They know.
They're walking.
It was like I was trying to get across the border with like drugs. I was just like sweating.
This guy's trying to get stuck that, on right? you for free.
Mm-hmm. Shallow Hal.
Shallow Hal comes up in every episode of this podcast for
I
some
snuck
fucking
in a snatch.
Reason.
Yeah. That was super. That was like, I felt like the James Bond. I was like, I snuck into the coolest movie.
That's amazing, man.
Yeah, looking back on it, it wasn't as impressive
as I thought
it was.
The first time I ever like went to a movie alone, my friends, people just go to movies and hang out. You know, you just see like, kids you went to school with and stuff at the movies. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have any. I was just like, I'm just going to go up to the movies. And some of my friends will probably be there. I didn't have like a lot of friends, so it was like a lot.
Friend was the projection. Yeah. The projectionist.
And so I just like bought a ticket and went to look for someone I knew in a movie theater. And then I think I just ended up watching like The Manchurian Candidate or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Is there any way to picture a projectionist besides a sweet old man who will give you advice or crazy psychopath?
Murderer,
right?
Yeah.
You just
There's
can't
really
see
no
a reasonable
between, right?
conversation with a projectionist in 2018.
Well, like, the Inglourious Basterds, that had to be the least realistic of all the plot elements, right?
like a really hot woman?
Well, actually, this is
that couple, period. The most beautiful couple in the world.
Yeah.
Run
it was Nazi
this
Germany, though.
This is going to shock you. I went to a movie once that did end exactly like the movie in Inglourious Basterds. They didn't. They didn't burn down the movie theater and kill Hitler.
Oh, yeah. That was so surprising. I know it's stupid to say now, but that ending, honestly, the first time I saw it, I was like, what?
Oh, yeah. That movie really holds up.
I was like, you can do that? You can just
really kill
Hitler? Oh shit, it was so satisfying.
Why didn't they think of this back then?
Yeah.
It does easy. Hold up. That's a good one.
Bear juice. Mm-hmm.
All right, guys, we got a few weird little game things that we play, and we'll give them a little. That's really loud. Sorry. We got a few games. The first one we've been playing for a while is called Before and Afters. Mm. It's where you'll mash up two movie titles into one.
Okay.
To be a new movie title. And we actually had these submitted by Aaron in upstate New York, sent us a bunch of Before and Afters. So we talk about, like, an example would be like a lovely robot that sells penny stocks to get rich would be the Wolf of Wall Street. So we see we're kind of like mashing these things up. So I'll tell you the plot to the movie. There, all the plots are longer than that one line.
Okay.
I'll tell you the plot and you tell me what that movie is.
Okay.
What if we get it? Is it a contest? Like if I get it before Lucas?
You know what? It is now. It's a contest now.
Okay. I'm in.
Winner's name is first on your guys' podcast from here on out.
Oh.
Okay.
What? Okay.
There's three.
I mean, I love that you have control.
Yeah, it's crazy. Well, you guys
So if you win, is your name on our podcast?
Honestly, I'm desperate to not deal with the name of it anymore. So if you just want to tell us what you think the name should be.
Oh, yeah. The podcast from now on is called Kyle Ayers Presents. That's it, though. Then there's a colon, and then it's just your guys' podcast. So these three were all submitted by Aaron from in upstate New York, who sent me just a lot of
them. Do you know
Aaron? No, I don't. Okay. Just I'm a fan of the show. It makes me so happy.
Okay.
It saves me having to go through, and
yeah.
I kept using Catch Me If You Can in all of them. And so I was very helpful to have someone else with perspective. So here's our first one. A former musketeer swears vengeance on the king who caused the death of his son and hatches a plan to liberate the king's twin utilizing his billionaire resources and superhero suits.
Oh, man. It's Princess Bride something. No?
Say it again.
A former musketeer swears vengeance on the king who caused the death of his son and hatches a plan to liberate the king's twin.
Three musketeer kings.
Utilizing you're just saying some of the words I said in a different order.
Okay. Sorry.
Utilizing his billionaire resources and superhero suits.
I know we got Dark Knight or Batman Begins.
Iron Man. Oh, Man with the Iron Man
Mask.
Man
with the Iron Man mask.
Also acceptable would have been Iron Man and the Iron Mask.
That's great.
Iron. Wait, what did I say? A man with the
man
Iron
and
Man
the
mask.
Iron Man mask.
Yeah, I like that better. Oh.
Yeah, I guess listening back, I like me more than not me.
It's a 1-0 me.
Uh-huh.
Okay, got it.
It's not going to be a fair fight here. I'm crippled over here.
Number two, a father rents a motorhome to help improve communication between his dysfunctional family, and they take off for a vacation through a fascist-governed London where they meet a masked vigilante.
For vacation?
No, but that's
RV for Vendetta.
RV for Vendetta.
Very good.
1-1, my friend.
Wow. Uh-huh. Amazing.
Uh-huh.
All right.
That was the Ice Cube movie, wasn't it? Or was it Robin Williams?
Robin Williams.
Because, yeah, Ice Cube had an RV movie, too. That's the end of that anecdote.
The more you know.
We got a real
hey,
Paul
kids,
Blart
gather
mop.
Out. Dad's got another story.
Oh, how much was the movie theater?
You kids aren't going to believe how many RV movies came out that month.
10 dimes and zero nickels.
And then 100 more pennies.
Uh-huh, and then minus 100.
All right, last one. This is for the win, even though we have three more games.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
This is for the win of game one.
I feel
one.
Like I'm sitting on my hands is going to slow me down, but I don't know why.
It might.
Mm-hmm.
A beautiful princess with magical hair must escape the tower she has been locked in so she can defeat the evil CEO of Lecter Corp, a company that makes cigarettes, alcohol, and fast food.
Oh, I love you, Tangled Philip Morris.
No, but you're half right.
Oh,
Tangled for not smoking. Tangled, no.
Tangled. I like that you're trying to get
tangled you
the thing,
for
though.
Not smoking.
No. Tangled you for smoking. Yeah. Right.
The other movie is based on a sketch from the Chris Rock show.
Oh my god. Oh, Pootie Tangled. Tang.
Pootie Tangled.
Pootie Tangled.
Pootie Tangled.
Once again, I think I like ours more. Tangled you for not smoking.
Tangled you for not. And thank you, Tangled you, Philip Morris.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I like that.
All right, so I think we got 2-1 there for Barry. Now we're moving on.
No, definitely. You don't even need to think. That's a fact.
Yeah, by far.
That's up on the scoreboard.
So
it's
the
okay.
Next
come
game,
from behind. I got this.
The next game is called Three Tracks. What we do is we play audio from three movie scenes.
I take it back. I'm not
going to
get any points.
And you gotta tell me what the three movies are. You can just name them while it's playing. Mm-hmm. And we have two of them. And yeah, so here's one of them.
Oh, Braveheart.
Braveheart. Yeah, shit.
Braveheart's one. Why does it go? We didn't come here
to fight for them. Austin Powers?
No.
Oh, Goodfellas.
Goodfellas.
Oh, there's one more. Longing
for the past. James Earl Jones. Is that line? Is that dream? Field of Dreams.
Field of Dreams.
Field of Dreams.
Field of Dreams.
Wow, that's hard.
It's hard.
Thank God James Earl Jones started speaking.
Yeah, I feel like Scottish voice really trumps everything else.
Yeah, that came out. It was like, oh shit, it's either Last King of Scotland or Braveheart.
When Scottish voice comes on, it's really hard to hear anything else.
Yeah, I tried to sort of move him around so James Earl Jones would like peep into the quiet parts of the other one.
You did. And, you succeeded.
Eventually get it. All right, we got one more three tracks. Okay. This one I think is even a little bit harder, but I thought one of them was harder. I don't remember which one. That never mind. I didn't
know. Okay. I'll keep that in mind.
I thought things were different, but I don't remember now. Here's the second one.
I would never think that about you.
Who are you?
Ever.
I am the creator.
What do you think of me?
A television show that gives
what do you mean?
Joy and
Truman Show.
Truman Show.
God damn it.
Well, I always thought that you were a very nice person.
Oh, The Graduate.
The Graduate.
What?
Was nothing.
Did you know that?
And E.T.?
He's sorry for taking the bumblebee
from you. Oh, Poltergeist.
Harold and Maude.
Huh?
You're close.
E.T.? No, you said E.T.
What? No.
Poltergeist 2?
Close Encounters.
Oh my God.
Drew Barrymore, right?
Exorcist?
Twilight Zone.
God, I mean, newer, it's newer than all these.
Oh, I see dead people. Sixth Sense.
Yeah, Sixth Sense. Sixth Sense. I was trying to find a scene from The Sixth Sense, and there's so much music in that movie. I couldn't pick any.
Oh, you have to pick ones without music.
Well, or only one with music, but almost every scene in The Sixth Sense
has
crazy score behind it or something like that, except when he's talking to his mom in the car. So those two, this last one's a pretty new game. It's similar. It is two television themes simultaneously reversed.
Oof.
So if those other ones weren't nightmarish noise enough... Here's two barely familiar things, and backwards. So here's this one.
Cheers.
Cheers is one of them.
Step by Step.
I could hear Step by Step in there, though.
Oh man, this is really hard.
I'm so glad I smoked weed before this.
Yeah.
This is a nightmare sound.
Yeah, yeah.
This is a nightmare. Friends.
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 I thought it might be Friends earlier, but
I got it.
I was like, no.
It was funny hearing you sing your way into it. It is kind of. It's nightmarish enough that
it took the
once
first
I make
chords,
them, I have to make other people hear it.
Oh, it's such a nightmare. You just sit alone and do that?
Uh-huh.
Make those?
Yeah, I'm not a numbers guy.
What does that mean?
It was Friends. It's Friends and Cheers. Cheers I've never seen. Friends I've seen some
Cheers
of.
Cheers is great.
I think I should check
Cheers
out Cheers sometime.
Cheers is a terrific
check
show.
Check it out. Real under the radar show.
Yeah.
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 Real
not
cult.
Many people talk
Where's
about Cheers.
Where's the radar?
Uh-huh. Radar's... Radar's pretty high.
The radar's pretty high. Radar's in space.
Yeah.
So we're ending this episode. Our last thing is we got a fan-submitted script.
Ooh.
And so if you are listening to the show and you want to submit a script, you can send it to neverseenitshow@gmail.com. 1, 2, 3 pages, whatever you want to do.
All right.
You can send us a script, neverseenitshow@gmail.com. And like every other time we do a fan script, I don't know what movie this is for yet. So Yusong, our producer, has read through it. I'm going to throw him under the... like, Yusong has read it, and... but so, I don't know what it is. You guys don't know what it is. We got it over here, and he's got a cast
for us.
Actually. You do know what it is?
No.
Okay, that would be... You wrote all the fan ones under pseudonyms.
Yeah. I really need that point.
Oh, wow. Okay. So I'll list some characters, and you guys choose which of these you want to be. One is stage directions, Maggie, and narrator.
Okay.
You want that? All right, Barry, we have Betsy and Howard Monroe Peggy Olson. Okay. And I'll be reading Peggy Olson. So this is The Handmaid's Tale.
Oh, so now we know what it is.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. And we know the person's email, which I won't say.
Thank you. But just so they know, we know it.
And let me say, it is a great email.
Yeah, it really
it's
is.
It's Gmail.
Mm-hmm. We will say, though, this is written by Jonah Wilder. Jonah, thanks for sending us the script.
Thanks, Jonah.
And so this is Jonah's
any
script.
Any relation to Oscar Wilder? You can. Oh, that's not my name. Sorry. It's Billy Wilder.
You're supposed to call him Academy Award Wilder.
Jonah Hill?
Do you think this is The Handmaid's Tale. And, yeah, so stage directions.
Okay, I'm reading stage directions, Maggie, and narrator.
Yep.
All right. Interior, mansion, day. A resplendent mansion with portraits of inbred Europeans with their squally inbred dogs. This is
equally.
Where white
squally.
People live.
Equally.
Yeah. This is where white people live. In the middle of the room, squally. In a high back chair.
That could be a backwards and forwards. White squally.
In a high back chair sits Peggy Olson, dressed in a Puritan white hat with red flowing gowns.
Things have been hard, you know, with the Amish-American War. I've never suspected that hand-carved weapons would be so effective in their bid for global takeover. Ever since they eliminated the internet, I've lost my LinkedIn profile and I haven't been able to find other work. So I'm making a new start as a modern new Amish woman in 2067, and I'm looking to find a job where I can really be proactive.
Across from her sits Betsy, a stern older woman like a mean Oprah, who is clearly the bottom bitch of the handmaids.
And what makes you think you're qualified to be a handmaid?
I have a background in advertising, which means I have strong sales experience. Plus, I've always wanted to open my own Etsy shop. I totally figure like handmaid and crafting and, you know, bedazzling would be a perfect fit for me.
Betsy smiles maniacally and tents her hands like Mr. Burns from The Simpsons.
I think you're ready to be a handmaid, but first you must meet the master.
Betsy turns away. The lights grow dim, and she speaks menacingly to herself.
And soon you will go on a master date.
What was that?
Nothing. Let's get you started on your paperwork.
Exterior, courtyard, day. Peggy stands in a circle of women linked hand in hand. She leans in toward Maggie, who stands beside her and whispers furiously.
We've been standing in this circle for hours. I'm cold, tired, hungry, and I need to pee.
Be quiet, or they'll use you they'll use the hot glue.
You'll they'll.
Yes. Maggie gestures to a woman with her mouth glued shut, but Peggy doesn't notice.
That's what I've been waiting for this whole time. When am I going to learn to make handmade jewelry?
A man dressed in all black with slicked back hair like Jake Gyllenhaal missing a chromosome, Howard Monroe, leers at the women.
Oh, what a fine-looking specimen. Now, which of you shall I partake in tonight as my sexual receptacle? Shall it be you, hun?
He thrusts his hips at one of the women
who
cringes appropriately.
What is this? Some sort of harem? This is not what I signed up for.
Harem? Nah, darling. That there is a Muslim word influenced by heretical devil worship. Think of me as a shepherd of the Lord, and you are the sheep that I will take through the valley of darkness to the promised land.
He leans in close to her, whispering in her ear.
What do you say, darling? You ready for me to teach you how to flock?
The women encircle Peggy, holding her down.
No, please don't.
Take her to the disrobing chamber.
Disrobing.
Disrobing chamber. We're going to have ourselves a barn raising tonight.
The women drag Peggy off.
No, you can't do this. Hashtag me too.
And so the terrible rape and abuse continued for 4 to 5 more seasons. till Peggy escaped. Or the show won an Emmy and Elizabeth Moss moved on to do...
Moss.
Elizabeth Moss, that's her name. Moved on. She used to go by a maiden name, Moss. Moved on to do prestigious films with foreign directors. But no one cared because the show was on Hulu. And people already pay too much for cable and streaming services to add another channel to their lineup. Fade to black.
Boom. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Jonah.
I haven't seen it.
It's pretty much that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not that far off, really.
All right.
I haven't seen it, either.
I've seen, like, some of an episode.
Okay, so the biggest expert here on the show. All right, guys, thank you so much for doing the show. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
And tell everyone about your podcast.
You go, Lucas.
Okay. Well, my name is Lucas Neff.
I'm Barry Rothbart.
If you guys didn't notice, they both sat up and put on baseball caps before this part.
We have a podcast called Saving the World with Barry and Lucas.
Yeah, it's where we...
save the world and get high.
We have a bunch of cool guests who come in and are doing something cool with the world, and then we smoke a ton of weed and try to remember what questions we want to ask them. Yeah. So we have some great guests coming up. We have Lauren Miller-Rogan. She's going to talk to us about her charity that she runs with her husband.
Thursday.
Oh, yeah, so you're going to love that.
Yeah, Hilarity for Charity that she runs to fight Alzheimer's. We have a bunch of cool people on.
Yeah.
We have a guy who jet skied down the Mississippi to raise goats and chickens.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Yeah, it's going to be great.
That's great. So you could check it out. Also, Starburns Audio. So look for it there. Find them.
Can I do their new jingle?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Do the new jingle.
Starburns Audio.
Thank you guys so much. And if you like it, once again, send scripts, neverseenitshow@gmail.com, and like and subscribe and all that sort of stuff that you do to podcasts. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks.
It's a good show.